Father, we come to you at this time. We thank you for the opportunity to meet together again. We ask you now, Lord, as we're together, may as we look at this lesson today, may the Spirit of God be our teacher from the Word of God. Lord, bless everyone that's here. Supply every need, dear God, and encourage us, Lord, in our walk with you as we journey this journey. We know one day it's going to end, and we're going to be with you. But until then, Lord, you encourage us to occupy, to do our part, do what we can, Lord, to point men, women, boys, and girls to Christ. And God, help that be our goal, help that be our life, Lord, from day to day as we're out in this world. Lord, have your will and way now in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hebrews again, chapter 1. Read our verses we always read. Hebrews chapter 1 today as we continue our study on the details of that great salvation that God has provided for us. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heirs of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, if we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. So great salvation. Aren't you glad today that you know you're saved? Aren't you glad today that the Lord has provided for all mankind this wonderful thing of salvation, that all people can be saved today? So today, as we continue our study today, we have seen the last week we talked about the greatest blessing that God has given to mankind, salvation, in verses 1 through 8 in 1 Peter. Today we're going to continue our study as we look today at not only the question about salvation, but today we're going to look at prophecies of salvation. You know, in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 1, the Bible says, God at sundry times in divers manners spake in these times in time past unto the fathers by the who? The prophets. The prophets. So we see today, as we look at the Bible prophets of salvation, the Bible prophets of salvation. Our salvation was prophesied in Genesis, all through the Old Testament, we find in types and shadows. In types and shadows. We're going to look at some of them first of all this morning as we get started. Turn back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 7. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 7. We're looking at types of salvation. Prophets prophesied the salvation that we have and we enjoy today. We see in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 7, we know the story here, how the serpent came unto Eve and told her about the fruit, how good it was, and he deceived her literally. Excuse me. And then she gave to her husband, Adam. And verse 7 says, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. We see here the results of the sin of Adam and Eve was a realization of their shame and their nakedness when they disobeyed God. You know, isn't it an amazing thing how when we do wrong, we know it? I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. When we do wrong, we know it, do we not? We know it here, we know it here. Well, this is what happened to Adam and Eve when they disobeyed God deliberately, intentionally. We find they realized their shame and their nakedness. But look down in verse 20, 21. Get down to verse 21. The Bible says, to Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. We see here, Adam and Eve, this illustrates here salvation clothes us. God put skins on Adam and Eve after they sinned. He clothed them. Now, we see here the gracious Creator here, He forgave them, and then He clothed them with skins to clothe them. It's like unto God clothes us. We see here Adam and Eve illustrates that salvation clothes us. Now, we're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Nothing that we have done, but His righteousness. You see, we're clothed in that. So, see, first of all, one type here of salvation is the sin of Adam and Eve, how God forgave them and He clothed them. He clothed them with skins. He put clothes on them. You know, that's something that we need to really illustrate in the summertime especially. You know, people put clothes on, okay? God put clothes on the first couple. And people need to put clothes on nowadays, especially in the summertime, you see, and not be naked like they are today. But we see, first of all, Adam and Eve illustrate salvation clothes us. It clothes us. This is one type of salvation. Now, turn over to chapter 4. You're right there. Chapter 4, look at verse number 3. We know the story here, how Adam and Eve, they conceived and had two sons. And in verse number 4 says, and Abel, he also, let's read it all. Adam and Eve, his wife, conceived, and she bare a son. And she said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. Excuse me. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock, of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance failed. We see here, it demonstrates here in Cain's example here, the wrong way to be accepted. There's only one way to salvation, amen? That's Jesus Christ. So we see here another type. Cain and Abel illustrate that salvation guarantees an acceptance God's way. Through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We see here, this is another type of salvation in the Old Testament. Now, turn over to chapter 7. Chapter 7, look at verse number 1. Another type of salvation. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. He's been working for 120 years. Come thou and into thy house, into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. We see here, the ark here illustrates that salvation protects us from God's wrath. God's wrath was about to come upon the earth. There was going to come a flood, was it not? And because Noah here got into the ark with his family, we see they were protected from God's wrath. So we see that salvation here illustrates protects us from God's wrath. Aren't you glad that you don't have to experience the wrath of God when you die? Aren't you glad that you don't have to go to the lake of fire when you die? And even in this world in which we live, God loves us enough to guide us and correct us when we do wrong. So we see another type of salvation. Now turn over to chapter 22. We're looking at types of salvation. Prophesied. The Word of God gives us a picture of salvation. Genesis chapter 22, look at verse number 9. 22, verse number 9. Except for my own pages here. Okay, the Bible says, and they came, that is, Adam and his son Isaac, they came to the place God had told them of, And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou any thing unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And we find that Abraham called that name of that place Jehovah-Jireh, as it is said unto this day, in the mount of the Lord he has seen. Now we see here Abraham and Isaac illustrate that God himself provides, salvation provides the acceptable substitute. Isaac did not have to die. God provided a substitute for Abraham as a burnt offering, not his son. And we see here, this illustrates, this is the type of us, type for us, how Abraham and Isaac illustrate that salvation provided for us and a substitute. Our substitute was the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful today for that. We also see in Exodus, one more place, Exodus chapter 14. Exodus 16. Look at verse number 14. Exodus 16, verse 14. We know that the children of Israel were miserable. They wanted food, and God said he would provide for them. Amen? And we see in verse 14, Exodus 16, verse 14, and when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. We see manna illustrates that salvation satisfies. Satisfies. Folks, can you imagine? Can you imagine eating manna for 40 years? You know, we don't want the same thing every day, do we? We're blessed. We're spoiled. We literally are. We have different things every day to eat. Well, they eat manna day in and day out, day in and day out, you know. But this illustrates they were satisfied. They were content. The only thing that satisfies mankind today is salvation, to know you're saved, to know you're on your way to heaven. This is real satisfaction in a person's life. There's the only peace that the world don't know, but it's the only peace that there is in the world today is the fact to know that we are saved, that we are saved. Now, let's go to 1 Peter now. We talked about some types of salvation that were prophesied in the Old Testament. Now let's go back over to 1 Peter, where we were. And let's look today at the question of the Scriptures as far as the prophecies here. We talked about the questions of salvation, the fact of salvation. Now we're going to look at the questions of Scripture. In 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse number 9. Peter says, Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, The message of salvation. The question here is, faith in Christ secures salvation. Faith in Christ secures salvation. I am safe and secure because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice it says, receiving the end of your faith. The end of your faith, the Bible says, even the salvation of your soul. What is the end of your salvation? The salvation of your soul. Your soul is saved. Your soul is saved, you see. And one day we'll find out we'll be in heaven. The goal of our salvation is our soul, to save our soul. God saved our soul when we become a child of God. We see, we're thankful for that today. See, salvation is faith in Christ. It's faith in Christ, you see. We find this, the Bible, God's Word, is the book in which salvation is revealed. There's no other book. There's no other book that you can find salvation. We say also here, the Bible is not just a book about science, but there is science in the book. It's not a book about psychology, but there is psychology somewhat in the book of the Bible. But we see here, the Bible is a book about salvation. God's love to mankind. From Genesis to Revelation, we find salvation. We see here that it goes beyond the Bible. There's human reasoning. The natural man does not understand the things of God, do they? When they read the Bible, they don't understand it. The natural man. The Bible is a book beyond human reasoning. We see also that it tells the truth that can only be known by revelation. That revelation comes from the Spirit of God that speaks to us as individuals as the Word of God is taught and preached to us. He reveals to us our condition as a lost sinner, how we need to be saved, and how Jesus died for us. So the Bible is the book of salvation. The book of salvation. It tells us all we need to know to be saved. Aren't you glad? The Bible tells us all we need to know to be saved. It tells us who we are. It tells us who God is, who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is. All that we know, that we need to know of how to be saved. So we see that the question of Scriptures here, the Word of God, the Bible, is the source of salvation. We see it says, to the end of your faith, the goal of our salvation. The goal is our salvation, you see. Salvation of your soul. Your soul is saved forever. When you become a child of God, you don't have to worry about your soul going into the lake of fire. Your soul will one day be with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know. So I'm glad that we have the Bible, the Scriptures to help us to realize what salvation is. You know, man says do, God says done. It's done. Salvation is done. It's complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. Man also says, try, but God says, trust. Trust in me and be saved. Man says, try. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. All these good things I'm going to try to do to merit myself to heaven, but it doesn't happen. You know that. So we're glad today to know that the message of salvation is in the Word of God. The Bible teaches us that. We notice also back in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, we see, of which salvation the prophets had inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. These men were prophesying things that's going to come later. They're not even going to be part of it. But God inspired them, give them revelation to inspire what's going to take place in the day's dispensation of grace by the Lord Jesus Christ. We see it's a mystery, salvation. We see here, many of these men and people in this time in the country, time in the world, they suffered and they died. They died. But they didn't. We see here what the prophets pursued. We see in verse number 10, of which salvation the prophets had inquired and searched diligently. They searched diligently. This was a mystery to them. This was a mystery to them. There's going to come a day. There's going to come a Savior and save mankind. This was a mystery to them. They didn't understand this, but they proclaimed it. They proclaimed it. They searched diligently. They prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. They prophesied of the grace of God, the love of God, how God loves mankind from Adam down to the last person that's ever born in this world. He loves every one of us. So we see the mystery of this Scriptures of salvation and how God loves us. We see also what they pondered upon. Look in verse 11. They pondered upon the time, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, they signified, which is testified beforehand, the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should be followed. Can we try to get in our mind, these men, they were writing these things that God inspired them of things that were going to happen in the future. Now, they never lived to see it, but they were giving out God's word, what God said was going to take place in the future, you see. So we see here, they were proclaiming this. The prophets here were pondering on the time it was going to happen. They knew it was not going to happen in their time, but it was going to happen. Salvation would come through the Lord Jesus Christ. The times of which they prophesied, the truths of which they prophesied. We find both in verse 11. What manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow because of the sufferings of Jesus Christ. My, what a book. There's no other book like the Bible, folks. This is God's book. It's God's inspired book. He knew what was going to happen from Genesis 1 to the last day on this earth. He knows what's going to happen also. And I'm thankful today that we live in a time when we are blessed to know that we're living a dispensation of grace and God still is saving people today. We see the mystery of Christ's suffering. We see the manifest of his splendor, his glory, what's going to take place one day. You know, all these things were prophesied by prophets. Therefore, we have the scriptures to support our so great salvation that it was going to come, you see. We see to his majesty in verse number 12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things. See, it wasn't revealed to the prophets, but it's been revealed to us. To them, it was a mystery that was going to take place. We see that it was, you see. We see the disappointment of the prophets revealed not unto themselves. They were prophesying something that was not going to happen in their lifetime. But yet they wrote it for us that we could look back and see, hey, salvation is a thing that was prophesied by God through his men, through the inspiration of the Spirit of God. That you and I can know that there's going to come a time, and we're living in that time. We see also that they ministered the gospel. We see the dispensation of the church also in verse number 12. They ministered, but unto us they did minister the things, you see, which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Aren't you glad that we live in a time that we see prophecy fulfilled? We see that the grace of God is manifested throughout the world today for all mankind. Anybody can be saved today, folks. Anybody can be saved. These men, as they spake, as they wrote and they spake the word of God, this didn't happen in their time, but they looked forward to that time that it was going to happen for you and I. We see also the last part of verse 12, sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. We see the angels, The angels desire to look in the great thing of salvation. To look into it. Find out more about it. And we see they did this. So we see who made the search. We see the prophets did. They made it diligently in verse number 10. We see they were inspired by God to write these words for you and I. We also see the object of their search was salvation, the grace of God which should come to you and to me. The grace of God should come to us in these days in which you and I live. They're prophesying these things. The question of the scriptures, we're saying, all scripture is inspired of God. We know that scripture had been fulfilled. We see that the manner of their search In verse 10, their being inspired did not make their search needless. They were still searching, even though they were inspired of God, because of this wonderful thing that God was prophesying through men that's going to take place in the future. I'm so glad today to know that the Bible prophets of salvation, the Bible prophets of salvation, salvation by Jesus Christ has been the study of many wise and great men throughout ages. Salvation by Jesus Christ, the only way, the only way. We also see in verse 11, the matters the prophets searched into. They searched into Jesus Christ as being the subject of their studies. Jesus Christ, the subject of their studies as they did this. We see they looked at his humiliation and his death. Not only that, they looked at the consequences of both his humiliation and his death. They were looking into this. They didn't know what was going to be like, but they were inspired by God to write this. Those holy prophets earnestly desired to see the day of the Son of Man, but they did not live for that time to happen. Well, they desired to see it. You know, it's just like you and I on the earth today, as children of God. We long to see the rapture of the church, do we not? We long to see the rapture of the church. We may not live to see the rapture of the church, but we know it's going to happen, do we not? It's going to happen. Well, this is the way these prophets were, see. They were prophesying something that they knew they were not going to live to see. But it did happen. It did happen. What God says is going to happen regardless of what man says. And we can count on that, you see. So we see here, these things were great. They were amazed at the humiliation, the death, the speaking about Christ, and what will be the outcome. The grace of God will flood everybody, give everybody a chance to be saved, you see. Those holy prophets earnestly desired to see the day of Jesus Christ. They desired to see the day. You know, they didn't see the day of him, but one day they're going to see him. They will see him one day, face to face, just like you and I will. And I know they'll be glad for that. Their minds were set upon the time of that accomplishment as they prophesied and wrote the Word of God for you and I to have it today. You see, we need to learn to expect a time of service and suffering before we are received up into glory. We need to be busy, folks. It could be today. It could be next week that we're called up into heaven. Are we working today? Are we serving today in suffering? We also see in verse number 12, we see here the success which their inquiries were crowned by. Verse number 12, as we read it again, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desired. Those things were not to come to pass in their time. In their time. We don't know about the rapture. It may take place not in my time, not in your time. We know it's going to take place, isn't it? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Thank God for that. So we see some inquiries here, three of them. First of all, the prophets inquired about the scriptures. Who searched diligently into this matter of Christ and salvation? They searched diligently of it. This is a subject that was not born yesterday. There's always been the subject of salvation since day one, since God started. He planned salvation. We see the apostles, they consulted the prophecies as they were witnesses of what accomplishment of them. We also see the angels who were mostly intently desiring to learn more about salvation. You know, there's a song out. There's a song the angels cannot sing. The holy angels cannot sing. And that's salvation. They can't sing it because they haven't been saved. They haven't been saved. They've never experienced the grace of God like you and I have. Aren't you glad that we live in this time when we have experienced the grace of God, the love of God towards us, and how that we can become children of God because of his love, the angels. God is pleased to answer our necessities more so than our requests sometimes, our necessities. We needed salvation, amen? And he answered that when we called upon him by faith. I thank God that he did that. It should be our practice as a Christian to be useful to others and not just to self. Like Brother Alford was talking about this morning. You know, the older we get, the more we realize, hey, it is not all about me. It's about others. It's about others in our life as a Christian, you see. We need to be telling people about Jesus every day of our life, folks. Every day. God will give you an opportunity if we'll look for it. The revelation of God to the church and all perfectly consists of. We need to look at that today. The doctrine of the prophets and of the apostles, they all agreed. They all agreed. They were all in one accord because it was inspired of God what they said. You know what? When God inspires them, when God puts something together, it's right. It's right. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all a book of unity, a unity. We, the success of it depends upon the operation and the blessing. The success of the gospel. The operation and the blessing. The mysteries of the gospel are so glorious that the blessed angels earnestly desire to look into it. Look into them. The blessings of salvation. I can't say it enough, folks. So great salvation. So great salvation. We're blessed beyond measure. But the biggest, the greatest, the most important blessing we have and experience in our life is to be saved. To be saved and know it. To be saved, to be forgiven by God of our sins. Can you tell me anything any greater than that? There is nothing no greater than that. The fact that I know when I pillow my head every night that my sins are forgiven. If I never wake up no more in this world, praise God, I'll be in heaven. I'll be with my Savior. I'll be with my Savior. The greatest thing that ever happened to anybody is to be saved. It's happened to me. It's happened to you. May God help us as his children to tell somebody else about Jesus. The question of the scriptures when it comes to salvation, let's look at a few. In Psalm 27, if you will look there, please. Psalm 27, talking about salvation right on. The psalmist wrote these things about salvation. The salvation, first of all, is of God. Salvation is of God. The psalmist says in Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my what? Salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Notice, whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? It's all because of salvation. It's all because of salvation. I will not fear. I will not be afraid because of my so great salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I'm so glad today that salvation is of God. Salvation also is by faith. Turn to Ephesians. All of you know these verses? Let's look at them. Ephesians chapter number 2. Salvation is by faith. Yes, sir. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith. Salvation is by faith. Salvation is of God. It is by grace through faith. By grace through faith. Also, we see that salvation is also possible to all men. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Folks, that's you. That's me. One day you called upon the Lord, and what happened? He saved you. He saved you. Salvation is possible for all mankind. It's Salvation is of God. Salvation is by grace through faith. Salvation is possible to all men. And salvation is promised. In Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 16, this was one of Brother J.B. Mitchell's favorite verses right here. Acts chapter 16. Look at verse 30 and 31. We know that Paul and them were in jail, and God calls at midnight. They sang a song, Paul and Silas, and strange things happened, and there was a great earthquake, verse 26. The place was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loose, and the keeper of the prison, he was all awake and all out of sleep, and the doors were open. And he drew out a sword and about to kill himself. And we find in verse number 30, Paul cried with a loud voice saying, do thyself no harm, in verse 28. And then he called for a light and sprang up and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. Verse number 29. And notice, we see in verse number 30, and brought them in verse number 29. Then he called for a light and springing and called trembling, came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? That's a very important question, isn't it? The most important question a man could ever ask. What must I do to be saved? We see salvation can be sought. Salvation has to be sought. We have to want to be saved. There has to come a time in our life that we see we need to be saved, and we seek for salvation. And when we seek for salvation, salvation is promised. It's promised. Look at verse number 31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. My, what a promise. I thank God today for salvation. I thank God for the Scripture clarifying to us what salvation is all about. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to talk about salvation again. Salvation again. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the Word of God. We thank you for so great salvation that you have provided for mankind. And God, we ask you now, Lord, as we continue to study, as we look at the completion of salvation in the next couple of weeks, Lord, I pray you'd help us, Lord, that we might understand really what you've done for us and how you love us. Help us now as we go through the next service. Bless everything that's done. Bless the preaching of thy word, especially. If there's one here lost, I pray they might be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.